Hello there, Beard here.
So good afternoon, handy listeners, such as you are. Welcome to this, a new dawn in the age of Gilball. Yes, it is Errata 4.3. It feels only yesterday that 4.2 was coming along. It wasn't, it was ages ago. When was it, like August?
I think it was August.
Something like that. Anyway, I am joined, as ever, by the incredibly loud Mr. Connor Rooney. Say hello, Connor.
Hello!
And once more by the ineffable Mr. Panzer Harris, who will now do a startling impression of Connor.
Yeah, now you've said it, I'm not going to do it.
Hello, Bill. combo breaker. Nice. Oh, I appreciated that. So before we dive into the actual changes, and of course this being an Errata episode means it's going to take like 3 or 4 hours to fully go through all 40 cards. Wait, but no.
No, it's not.
Yay! 4.2, I will freely admit I've had a little bit of a break from Guild Ball, not because, you know, Guild Ball, but real life. Connor, as our sort of resident main tournament attendee, as opposed to Panzer, our resident tournament organiser, how has 4.2 been? We thought it was going to be incredibly fast. Has that, and also something of an on-apocalypse we thought at one point, has that come to fruition?
Well, yeah, the honor thing never really did.
No.
And when talking about 4.2, it's kind of really been two fairly distinct metas in the, like, 4.2 August to November, December.
Yeah.
And then the drop of Festival, Vet Greed, and Soma almost created a new meta, because prior to that, I actually thought the game was in a very good spot where a lot of guilds were competing, and I do think it was one of the better periods we've had in the game in a long time.
For competitive tournaments,
competitively, guild. Yeah, and you just saw a lot of different guilds, like, you saw people at WTC was kind of the height of that meta. You saw people on everything, a lot of masons, a lot of fish, alchemists, union, engineers, miners, like a lot of stuff was getting play. And I think people really enjoyed it too. And then once you did get Veteran Greed and Festival and Soma dropping, I think a lot of people kind of got tired of that meta quite quickly.
So like 4.2.5,
yeah.
So. Yeah, I absolutely agree with Connor, because I was one of the ones, ironically, that had my enthusiasm hit by 4.2.5.
Which is strange, because as an alchemist player, you came off very well in 4.2.5, both with, like, Vet Cat had already done well in 4.2, and then with the introduction of Soma and Numa, who we talked about at length on this pod back in November, was a very, very strong captain. So purely on a personal level, Panzer, what happened?
For me, it's I think one of the things that sums it up best to me was playing our mutual very good friend Mr. Bream at a tournament in Birmingham, and I played Soma into his masons and just blasted him off the pitch.
Yeah.
Now Rich is a very strong, very good player. He made maybe one or two slight mistakes, and that's all Soma needed.
And also, Rich has a very good record against you, I think. Is that
yes.
fair to say?
Yes, he does.
Admittedly with Scalpel, usually.
Yeah, it's that old irony. I teach people to play, and they promptly use that knowledge to beat me into the ground. But,
well, I'm sure this time they've toned down Scalpel.
Also, Kana, Panzer, you know, at no point have I ever used the information you've given me to beat you. I've always been very fair in that respect.
Yeah, because we normally play each other when we both know nothing.
It's very true. It's very true. Usually at testers. So it's fair to say that 4.2 was almost like this. Just looking at the mechanics of Guild Ball, no sort of external factors. Forgive me. Just sort of timing it down that way. Almost like a sort of Guildborn halcyon day. Like, you know, we didn't... I know Butcher's players weren't happy, particularly with that combined result becoming, what was it, one damage playbook on veteran Captain Boar. Personally, I still think that's a really good bit of design because it means people have to choose between activating the play and doing damage against Brewers. And good Lord, maybe Tough High should actually do something in this game. Still the worst defensive mechanic, but there we are. But 4.2.5, if we're going to sort of coin it that, skewed the meta a little bit, mainly because of the threat extension of Minx with veteran Captain Greed, and then just the sheer explosive can-do-anything from Soma and Numa. Is that a fair description of where we were?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think 4.2.5... just continued a trend that had happened a little bit prior, but really exploded with it, which is just all three of those captains had absolutely insane threat extension in guilds that had really strong models to use that on, particularly in Alchemists and Union. Farmers less so, but being able to do your entire team with a team that's decently tough is equally strong in some ways.
I think Festival made more of an impact than perhaps we were expecting. Because we just kind of went, Thresher. And to a certain extent, like the meta is still Thresher. But I know a lot of people have gleaned a lot of joy from playing Festival and done well with her. I'm not seeing her, like, you know, at the top of win percentages or anything like that. But at the same time, she's not nothing. Does that make sense?
I think she helped with the bad matchups. I mean, a lot of times they still Thresher. It's like, as an alchemist, I still see Thresher every damn time.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
Connor, you have more varied experience.
I haven't actually faced farmers since Festival came out. We have a bit of a gap in our meta at the moment around farmers, but I do think you're seeing a lot of Festival drops into teams like Fishermen or Navs, who traditionally Thresher struggled a bit with, because, yeah, he could kill one of them, but the team just overwhelms you with goal threats, and Festival snaps back a lot better because of the legendary and also gets to your team better.
And just her repositioning of her own models, you know, pulling people out of engagements and things like that. Connor, whilst we haven't put out a podcast in a while, that doesn't mean we don't talk on a daily basis about Guild Ball. And one of the things I found very interesting was that as we were leading up to the sort of the inevitability of this errata, one of the things you continually sort of said was that you hoped it was small, that you wanted a light touch because of how much you enjoyed 4.2. You almost wanted sort of 4.3 to be heading back in that direction. Admittedly, you then went on singled out and suggested a billion changes over 3 hours.
That was all Steve's idea. Steve said we had to do something for each guild. That was not my opinion.
Rubbish. We heard nothing but your opinions for at least 2 hours.
That was the one opinion Steve got through.
What, that you should talk?
Yes. That's how I remember it.
I mean, admittedly, if you go through a guild, if you go through the whole roster of players, guild by guild, player by player, you're going to like have a little tweak here and there on city pretty much every name that comes up. But again, you know, you are hoping for a smaller, more, dare I say it, traditional errata rather than the, what was it, 45 card changes?
It was nuts
4.2?
Last time. And I thought we actually have gotten to the point where some guilds I think would be fine with just never getting touched again, even though there are models in those guilds that don't really see play. In my mind, the two guilds prior to this errata that were the best balanced were Fishermen and Masons.
Yeah.
Ironically, I play both guilds, and there are models that don't really see play for me ever. Mostly Lucky in Masons and Salt and Fish. But I was thinking, like, they're at such a good point, I would just leave them and, like, try to get the rest of the game to the level of those guilds.
Yeah,
I thought both their internal and external balance was quite good.
Like, even, like, I've been... The games that I have played in 4.2 have all been with Masons, and even though it is evident that Corbelli's legendary... is lacking compared to the rest of the guilds. The fact that, you know, it's not a spoiler, I'm sure everyone is pretty much all aware of exactly the changes that have been in this errata before listening to this or looking at this video. There are no Masons changes, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
they got quite the rewrite, you know, so it would be wrong to start taking this apart already.
And I think, you make a very good point there, Ben, and I think it's worth, although, you know, this introduction, which I sort of said I wanted to be 2 or 3 minutes long, is already 10 minutes long.
We are roll better, woo.
I mean, it's not 4 hours.
It's 10, not half. Yeah, exactly.
although, you know, game development and errata development is, in my mind, a system of light touches. You know, because very, very small changes can have very wide-ranging impacts. And I think it's fair to say that this is a softly, softly approach, particularly when compared to 4.2. And perhaps, handy listener, handy viewer such as you are, you know, 4.2 was your first errata. And that's the first time you've experienced a Guild Ball errata. This is much more in keeping with what I would expect from Steamforge for an errata going forward. So don't be alarmed that this is 18 models. Speaking of which, we should probably actually start talking about these models. So, Ben, as our resident alchemist, our lab rat of choice, let's start with Veteran Catalyst. His jogs come down to 5. His influence is largely the same. The playbook is the same, to my mind.
Yeah, I think the only change was the jog, and I think Burst of Fumes is now 1 damage, not 2.
Yeah,
I didn't actually notice the jog the first time. That's quite
The jog is significant. Going to like a 7-inch threat rather than an 8-inch threat is again one of these sort of softly, softly light touches.
Mm-hmm. And he loses a lot when he charges. Unless you're hunting for the ground pound.
And I think most people are. Certainly, as, you know, if I was to have my ultra salty, I've just played Ben at LGT and had my rat catchers destroyed in a turn response, the ground pound was the thing I found most egregious. But that's that's largely due to my positioning, not Catalyst's card.
Well, and the thing with the ground pound is, like, it is neutered a lot by being on the 6th column, but sometimes he will just spike to it and then it's game over. Like, I had Steve Cole and I were playing a game and I'd done a super good job controlling Vet Cat, and then Vet Cat managed to walk into, on like turn 4 or something, walk into Fathom and Tentacles, and rolling 7 dice, rolled 6 5s and ground down them and killed them both.
Nah. No. So Ben, what do you make of this?
I think it's fair, looking at it. I would have preferred to see ground pound made once per turn. That's the thing I wanted to see.
Yeah.
Because I think with Soma, boosting that tack up to 10 without too much difficulty, my thing I posted when Soma came out was like, I think we need to look at this. It wasn't too hard to walk up to a model, get 3 ground pounds with both Venomous Strike and Inferno up, and you're doing 15 damage, you know, 5 damage to each nearby model, and you can probably do that 3 times.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not okay. No part of that is all right. I mean, now it's, you know, even if you set all that up, you're only doing 4 damage to everybody nearby, but I'd still like to see that only happen once. Alchemists, I always thought we did kind of more chip damage, not, you know, a hand grenade.
So the one thing I thought was interesting is because I think it was pretty clear that this was one of the 2 models most hoped would change in this errata.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the changes we discussed on Singled Out and I've discussed with other people were a lot more about like reducing like his way to set up himself or changing some of his defensive stuff or changing his playbook. And everyone kind of assumed they wouldn't change Burst of Fumes because they so recently made it from 1 damage to 2. And I'm quite glad they did, because a lot of changes people discussed were a lot about like removing his like pulsing type damage.
Or toxicity.
But I often found that wasn't that relevant, and what was happening is you would score a goal, Alchemist would score a goal and kill a model in one Catalyst activation, then you would score, then they would score and kill. Like, Catalyst was so good at one-rounding models with no support, that just losing basically... he basically got minus one... He got negative tooled up, this Errata. So he's lost a damage on basically everything because of the way Burst of Fumes works.
Yeah.
And I think, especially in Soma, this makes his ability to pretty reliably do 12 damage to anyone a lot more difficult. And that was a lot to do with, you know, not that much setup. And I think, yeah, I think they did a good job for the most part. And I think this was the right amount to do. There is a chance that he's still an auto-include, but I think they've tilted him down enough that even if he is, he definitely isn't going to completely dominate games in a really unfair way the way he has been.
Sorry, Ben. Yeah, crack on, you're our Alchemist guy.
What I was going to say is I think they had to be very careful that he didn't go back to being a paperweight.
Or just not in the 12.
Because they didn't make massive amounts of changes to suddenly he goes from paperweight to oh my good grief, what's this? So, you know, there was a risk if they did too much, he goes back to paperweight again, which would be a crying shame because most of us love the paint jobs we did on that model.
I think the 5-inch jog here is more significant than people are going to give credit.
And
rest assured, this is a series of changes where the vast majority of sort of the Gubbsian community are not going to think that these have gone far enough. No disrespect to Gubbs, but, you know, steady on, lads. I don't care how much damage Burst of Fumes does. If he can't reach me, he's not doing any of it. And having a 5-inch jog rather than a 6-inch jog is a considerable change.
It's good to see kind of in an age where all the threat extensions are getting bigger, his threat range got dialed back a step.
And I
think that is, you know, as I think we've all said, that's, you know, it's a much bigger change than it looks like.
Yeah. So should we move on to Soma? Just because I think we need to talk about Soma in relation to Vetcat, just purely because they have been so ubiquitous throughout the meta, you know, 4.2.5. So Soma's principal stat block, playbook remain the same. Nitro, I know, had a sort of an FAQ to it. Has it had a wording change? It's not had a wording change.
I don't think so.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Raging Fire has gotten more expensive.
Yep.
It's gone to 2 cost rather than 1. But mechanically...
quite big.
Yeah. Because Beaker Keeper doesn't affect captains, am I right?
No.
Yes,
so that's
you cannot
that's,
do both of these.
So you don't have the efficiency.
The huge thing.
That's the big thing because now Nitro and Raging Fire on a 4 influence model can't be done simultaneously. So, you know, choices have to be a thing. Burning Spirit remains the same. Gimme Fuel remains the same, but Backdraft has changed. Am I reading that right, Ben? Again, over to you, buddy.
No, I don't think it has. I'm sure the only Soma change was Raging Fire went to 2.
Fine. You know, like we said, you can't do both. Numa, then, purely because Numa and Soma are so interchangeable. I mean, literally, it's part of their design. The front card is unchanged. Yep.
Correct.
But the rear is where it gets interesting with Inferno. Or am I just making this
waning,
up?
Waning Light. Waning Light.
Yeah.
Okay, so Waning Light is now that the model can't heal in any way. Ben, talk me through this.
Yeah.
This is a model that just confuses the hell out of me.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad they didn't simplify the 2 a little bit. I was hoping they might take this errata to do that.
To me, I think it was the kind of my eureka moment when I understood the interactions was thrashing it out with Jamie and Bryce.
Yeah.
And you think about it as the model. You don't think about the stat cards. So if, you know, for example, if Soma, you know, makes an advance, that model has made it its advance. Whatever the model happens to be called, once the advance has ended, you can't do another advance because that model has advanced.
Yeah, it's,
and
it's
that's
more
how it started to slot in.
It's more Inferno. It's more Inferno and Backdraft. I've always found a bit confusing the way they interact. And I think part of that is people really do need to be placing and removing the tokens every time. If you're not doing that, it's really hard to tell what's going on.
You're cheating. It literally says in the rulebook, you have to put tokens down. It's one of the things that drew me to Guild Ball in the first place, is that token placement on the pitch is in the rulebook as a rule. You have to do
and
it
I
right.
And I do feel like people are doing time-saving stuff on this, which makes it as an opponent, especially if you can't remember like who hands out fire naturally, incredibly confusing. Yep. Especially when Numa's, like Cammy in a Soma crew is just incredibly confusing at times when the opponent isn't playing cleanly.
I think as the Alchemist player, they, you know, Soma and Numa, they put a burden on you to, you know, to explain things more clearly. It's things like Soma has burning spirits, so if you get within 2 inches of Soma, you're on fire. Numa doesn't. Boy.
Which is so weird.
Yeah, because Noob's the one that's on fire.
Yep. So it's a case of, you know, that's one of those gotcha rules. Like, it's been on Mercury. Whenever I take Mercury, I make absolutely sure my opponent knows that is a thing. Yeah, we go through it before kickoff. We go through it in Mercury's first activation. I think with the way all these rules interact, you just got to be careful. You've got to accept that yes, you might be under slightly more clock pressure because you're having to explain what you're doing that bit more.
But yeah,
so
don't be that.
But to be fair, the rest of the team is so damn efficient anyway.
You've got the time.
Yeah, okay. Have I clocked out with alchemists? Except Rich.
Hey,
I think I have once. That's about it.
The thing on Numa's card that it cannot heal any health whatsoever under any circumstances, how big an impact is that going to be for how you play Numa? Because it always seems to me like Numa is almost like old school Witness Me, where I get my two goals and then you legendary with Numa and get the, you know, you set yourself up and go, and you don't actually need them to be on the pitch that long. Or is that just how I play? How is this going to impact you?
For me, I don't think it changes much at all. I think it just reinforces that Numa is a glass cannon.
Yeah.
In that, you know, if you don't, you know, more of a glass sword, if you don't get your stroke absolutely right, you're going to smash it to bits and achieve nothing. Because you've got to be so careful. You know, a 4-1 model with 10 wounds, there's no staying power there.
Yeah. I've said before, that I think Numa, when you include all his abilities, has the best playbook in the game with Tac 8, Momentous 3, Push Dodge on 2, and all his other crazy results he has. And he's an incredibly good model at getting 6-point activations with Furious, his speed, his dodges, 3-6 kick. And it's interesting because I definitely was in the camp that Vet Cat was not the only model that needed a tweak, that Soma and Numa did as well. And
yeah,
I like the tweak. I do wish they changed Backdraft and the way some of that stuff works to be a bit more similar to how other Alchemist stuff works. But I do think the Soma change in particular is really good because hitting his turn one, it hits a turn one with Vet Cat a lot, but doesn't really if you're not playing Vet Cat, because there aren't really any models you tend to put that on turn one otherwise. Numa, I think the really interesting thing with Numa in my mind is I thought the output of the model was just too good, and they haven't changed that. But what they have done is make it so it's not a brain dead button. So at the moment, like pre errata, Numa, I was seeing people occasionally just legendary to Numa turn one. And if you do that into, you know, like a Vet Rage or Ox team,
please
you get
do.
Massively punished for that. But if you
I think that's a really, really silly thing to do.
Well, it isn't. It it is in that matchup, but if you do it into like a football-y
game, they just
cannot do anything about it. Numa just runs rampant over that team because they can't kill him fast enough, whereas now it's actually worth it for those types of teams to try to chip him down because you can still kill him. Instead of being I've played guilds where you're like, well, a 4-1 with 10 boxes when he can heal 8 a turn is not really killable.
That's interesting.
And now he is.
Yeah, because I kind of looked at this, you know, as the takeout guy and sort of went, well, that's one swing of Hooper. Like, who cares whether or not he can heal? But it's not about me. It's about, you know, Vetsakana and Shark doing ones and twos here and there. All right, that's interesting.
I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that Raging Fire going to 2 cost.
It's massive. Because it is massive.
Because, you know, one of my standard kind of loadouts for Soma is you put 3 on them. Because that gives you enough. You can either Nitro or you can hand out Raging Fire to 3 of your 4 squaddies.
Not anymore.
No. You put 3 on Soma, you can either Nitro or 1 Raging Fire. So you've got to be, you know, it's not. Again, you've got to think more about your allocation and what you want to achieve.
It's not just that. And if you load Soma up with say, 4 influence to do 2 Raging Fires, but you end up thinking, actually, no, Nitro is the better use, then you're not. You've wasted another influence on top.
It makes them less than an easy button.
Yeah, and alchemists were so far past what was okay influence efficiency wise that them having some inefficiency is really good.
Excellent. Last question then on alchemists is, although they need some time to be spent on them, I'm aware that we have spent a bit of time on them. Ben, does this sort of bring you back and make you want to put them on the table again?
Yeah, I mean, I've still never played Soma with Vetcat because I just took one look at that and said, my local meta, even lower mid tables at tournaments, I cannot do this to people. This isn't fair.
It's fair to say you have a developing meta, right? Rather than sort of the misery meta that Connor and I play in.
So I would like to point out that even Valerian in a tournament with alchemists decided that playing Vetcat was too much.
Good lord. Good lord.
That's how bad it was.
I did not realize
he had a soul, never mind a conscience.
Yeah.
Moving on then to blacksmiths. One of the things I find really interesting...
One thing before we do move on, I know people are going to mention
of
it.
Course.
Here we go.
Go on then.
Midas did not get any changes.
I know, it's like the first errata ever.
I know.
Shush.
And we all thought he was going to get one. Keep in mind, people, Lure of Gold, you can still do it twice on Vetcat, which I'm a bit surprised by.
You can still do all the Lure... Yeah, I mean, Ben, you did your darndest to change that by demonstrating it to Bryce at a tournament.
But I demonstrated it with Vitriol to recover his impossible kickoff.
Yeah. But so it somehow survives despite your best efforts. Blacksmiths got... You know, they were nerfed with no benefit. In the last errata, and what I find really interesting about the models that we're about to talk to in blacksmiths is that none of them were the ones changed in 4.3. Is that right? 4.2? Am I making that up?
No,
you're correct. None of them were changed,
which is good.
Only
I like that.
Sledge and Anvil and
Faris. That's it. So. Burnish. Burnish, his main stat line remains the same. His playbook remains the same. Flame Belch has doubled in damage.
Which is funny, because it used to be 3 damage.
Then it went down to 2.
Then it got nerfed to 2, and now is 4. And I definitely didn't realize at first that it had become once per turn.
I did the same thing.
And I was panicking.
It was like it's like sugar all over again from Cooks, and I was
because you could have it'd be 4 a turn potentially.
Yeah, because of his legendary. So and then reduction has been simplified in that it no longer it is still a condition removal, but it no longer puts out burning on friendly models, which is
a huge
flavor loss. But a mechanical win, I think it's fair to say. Reinforced plating remains the same, but hey.
Boo!
We now live in a post-hook and crook world, so who cares? and covering fire is the same as well? Yes. So principally Flame Belch. I like it. It puts out giant things of fire and does a lot of damage. I'm a fan.
I think the big change here is reduction.
Yeah.
A lot of guilds, especially into alchemists, which I think were a bit of a tough matchup at times. I think Culverin and Cutlass helped that a lot. But I think the Blacksmith's 12 is going to be a lot harder now. And I think dropping Culverin and Cutlass and playing Burnish into Alchemists and into Hunters and such is quite big. Because when you, like, for example, when you wanted to, like, remove Snared, you're still on fire, so your threat range is still...
Well, not just that, but with the introduction of Cooks and the sheer volume of fire that they put out, having what was, for a long time, their only conditioned tech piece, removing fire to replace it with fire, was pretty bobbins, to be frank. So now they can actually remove fire rather than sort of Cutlass and Culverins. I'm going to remove the damage from the play a bit, and I have a legendary that can remove the condition. But now actually having some kind of anti-fire tech is good, and especially as they lost all of their native fire immunity, because the Burnish and Furnace used to have that, we ignore the first burning every turn.
I forgot about that.
So now...
Yeah, that just goes to show.
Yeah, it just feels kind of like a Season 3 cleanup, which is good.
Yeah, I think he'll see play as a tech piece now in two situations instead of one, which makes him a damn impressive tech piece when you play him.
Especially
and
for
Kill
Smith,
the Ball is
who
still
would,
really
would,
good, and would, as we'll get to, is more relevant than ever.
Yeah. Anything more on Burnish before we go into cast?
We're going to see him more. I wish we wouldn't.
Yeah. Agreed.
Fair. I mean, that's not a surprise from you two. Cast, no. Still just as quick, still just the same tack, same kick, same death. Playbook got a lovely momentous 4-on-4. Mmm. Tasty.
It's more about the two guild ball. They combine the two.
I was
going to
say, don't you mean
two.
Momentous 4-on-2?
So, yeah, shield throw going to, combining the Guild Ball and the 2-on-2. I mean, it's something needed to happen because Cast was probably the first model not taken unless you really loved her. And that's fine to have a pet card. But for most competitive scenes, I think it's fair to say Cast was the first one to be cast off. Solid reactions. I can see the panda gif, Panzer. So yeah, shield throw. Yeah, like you say, 4 damage on 2 that knocks the ball loose. That's a hell of a result, especially in a guild where having 2 net hits doesn't require rolling dice.
And where you have 2 models that have killed the ball on their cards,
absolutely. And then on the back of her card, she's gained Bright Shield. I really like this because it's like, even, you know, this is 4.3. This is what the maybe 10th, 11th iteration of the rules since it became the retail version, and we're still seeing new rules being put into the game. So Bright Shield's an enemy model that declares a counterattack against this model suffers -1 tack for the duration of the counterattack. I think that's wonderful.
The only thing I don't like about this rule is that they've named it something very blacksmithy, because I'd actually like to see it more in the game. I think it's a really cool rule.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. She's good. Like, and also, you know, you say that her combined result on 2 is a momentous 4 damage scatter the ball. Don't forget, because of Swift Strikes, it's also a 2-inch dodge.
Or it's a momentous 2 damage, -1 tack, -1 defense to anyone within 6. That result is insane.
Oh, swearing from Connor. I'm not beeping you out. I've had enough. Like, crack on. He's gone on singled out once, and now he's come back with a potty mouth. Cinder.
I blame Albert.
I blame Albert for a lot of things. This is not one of them. Cinder, still the same stat line, still the same playbook. Kill the ball, still good.
Stat line is different.
No, the defense went up to 4.
You're absolutely right. So yes, she's lost unpredictable movement, boo, but gained a point of defense, which is nice. So she's 4-2 under Sentinel, which or 6-2 under Sentinel. So has Decoy gone up in value because her base defense has? Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Far Strike is the same, but just no longer in the same position. On, I like that they've alphabetized the back of the card, which is quite nice.
My CDO says thank you.
Yep. Searing Strike is built in rather than needing to be kindled by Furnace.
Which makes Far Strike a lot more relevant.
No, they've reworded all this.
Yeah. So Searing Strike was what Veteran Cinder had, if memory serves. Yeah. Yes. So Veteran Cinder and Regular Cinder just have the same rule. I'm all for that. All for that.
Used to just have Burning Strike if it worked.
But now having a free attack rather than gaining Burning Strike if she's within six of Furnace is very nice, I think. Like, again, in a faction which can can automatically give her instructions and the net hits required for that tackle to work, she doesn't actually need any influence putting into that, which is just glorious.
I also think Cast being so good now, and Cast playing it kind of the similar, doesn't really need a specific master, does a bunch of different useful stuff that Vet Cinder has, opens up a tech slot for Cinder more in the six. I'm not sure. I think a lot of blacksmiths are going to have to make some really tough calls in the 12 now. But I think you might even see Vet Cinder dropping if someone's particularly a fan of Cast. I know that Steve is talking about Vet Cinder being out of the 12. And if that happens, then it's a lot easier to justify Cinder if you need her as a tech piece. I still don't think you're going to see her a ton, though. Unlike Cast, who I think you're going to see a lot.
Yeah. For me, I can't get past the what she can now do is you can do the range tackle for free, then she has the ball four influence, a 6-8 move and a 3-8 kick.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, like when I first started playing blacksmiths, when it was just that first box, like Cinder was far and away my leading VP scorer. And I can honestly see her going back to that role because, you know, having that 3-8 kick, having all of these sort of ways of interacting with the opponent for extreme influence efficiency, and, you know, Albert's favorite thing of getting results without rolling dice. She is phenomenal, quite frankly, and I welcome return to the team for Cinder.
I think so.
Speaking of welcome returns to the team, it looks like Captain Ferrite's back as well. Sort of unilaterally the master of the Forge of choice when Blacksmiths first appeared has fallen by the wayside of late, but in 4.3 is faster. She goes up to a 6-8, so both her jog and her sprint have been buffed. She's still at 4-8 kick rather than the 4-6 she was before. Def 3-2. Acrobatic, disarm, and weak point are all the same. Get over here is still the same, but Tongue in Cheek has reversed and gone back to being a pulse, which is one of those rules changes that's hard to explain if you're not familiar with the game, but this is huge.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, the main reason she fell out of favor was that change in the first place, because it's kind of the same issue you have with the Hammer Legendary, where if you're a captain that wants to behave like a super solo and run off and do things, your legendary needs to be a pulse, because no one's ever going to be around you after you've activated. So the problem was, and the other issue was, it being an aura meant it didn't stack with Get Over Here Iron, because the buff would take place after Iron activated. Yeah, yeah. But now you can pull Iron 6 inches instead of 4 again. I think this is a massive change. I think between the nerf to the grindiest smiths in the previous errata and the buff to a lot of the football-y smiths in this one, I think they are going to be an incredibly good team again. But you're going to be able to, you're going to have to be able to play both styles. Which is how they always should have been.
They absolutely, you know, you can 100% play an 06 blacksmith team or a 3-0 blacksmith team and everything in between. I think with the boost to the football side of the game and also the tech piece side of the game that they've received in this errata, there is no style of play that blacksmiths cannot do, this is going to increase the difficulty, I think, of how they play, and they were already a difficult guild to play well.
I also think it's going to have a lot of people who dropped off of blacksmiths coming back to them, because I think a lot of people loved Season 3 blacksmiths. Mm. And really yeah. did not like the path they went down. I know a lot of the Spartans, like
Matt. Yeah, Barry will be happy.
Yeah.
Barry will be happy with these changes.
Yeah, and I've got Steve's going to be back on them too, to be honest, because he loves alternating between being able to have fun when he wants to, but then also being able to crush people's souls with defensive plays when he needs to. So I expect to never see him play the football E-list.
Let's put it like this. I sold my blacksmiths at the start of Season 4 because I thought there was absolutely no way they'd come anywhere back near my wheelhouse, and now I'm actually starting to regret that. looking at which models have come back in, I was like, yeah, I could play these again.
This is your
character in Washington State.
And I seem to remember you sold them to a fellow in America specifically so that you couldn't buy them back.
No, it was more so I didn't have to see them every week, so they could get their head in again. That was the motivation. I can't buy them back, but oh well.
Blacksmiths, football, yay! Like, but you are, if you want to play every single playstyle, you're going to need to put the time into playing every single playstyle.
Yeah, so, and you're going to need to make sacrifices, because I think every single model in the guild now, without exception, probably more than any other guild in the game, is worth having. And you have to drop three. And the way it works with pairings, it's quite hard. Like, it's a lot harder to make those cuts than in other guilds, because you almost have to cut two at once.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Moving on to an interesting guild. Brewers. Hooray!
I thought you said interesting.
I did, yes.
Yeah, I'm off to sleep now. Somebody call Valyrian, because I'm not interested.
So, we all knew the Veteran Decimate nerf was coming.
I hoped it was, but I wasn't sure, because the overall win rate wasn't crazy.
I mean, it's... She's so good that... She had to have a little bit of a tickle just so that other people could get a look in. You know, I think, you know, hashtag stale beer has been floating around for a while now. Whether, you know, the four, you know, we joked a long time ago that Brewers are the best minor guild in the game, but their flex spot are the captains. The, like, yep. the fixed four is so good. And part of that is just the dominance of Decimate and her ability to hook and crook people across the pitch. Seriously, those dogs are mental. No dice required. 6-inch push, mental. Duelist Lunge, whether paid for by momentum or by beer tokens, is a big part of that. And this is the only nerf on the card which, you know, had me breathing a sigh of relief. And it is down from 2-inch push to 1-inch push. And I'm surprisingly okay with this. Like, this could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, yeah. I think it means deals you can counterattack with the worst parts. Yeah.
I didn't catch either of what you said.
You can't surf models 8 inches off the pitch or 10 inches off the pitch or whatever you could do in Corker. With beer tokens, just it makes it function more like knockback and less like you can double push someone forever.
It's going to require more from me in terms of how I position and how I do things. Like, I still have a momentous double push on two. I'm still functionally going to be doing the same thing. I just have to think about it more, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't even think it affects the taxi.
No, it doesn't.
One taxi as much. It does a little bit, but what it really does change is, you remember when you made that that vassal graphic of like where are you safe from Decimate?
The safe spots, yeah.
And it was like a 6-inch circle in the middle of the board, and that was
pretty
it.
Pretty much.
It changes that massively.
And I'm alright with that.
Now you can't just double push someone to infinity. Hated that. It was so stupid. So I really like this change. I think it's fair. I think Decimate's finally balanced. And with new Tapper being so good and less reliant on her, I don't think she's an auto include anymore, but I still think you'll see her in a lot of lists.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we don't all play like Jarrett, where the Gaola game is to push people off the edge of the pitch. Esters, then, who, of course, they destroyed all character in the beginning of Season 4.
Where's my tiny violin?
I mean, the play rate does kind of back that up at this point.
Voice of Command is bonkers.
I hate it so much.
I mean, you would. And as a general rule, if Connor hates something, it means it's fine by me. So Voice of Command is a two-cost character play, once per turn, just as well. 4-inch pulse, friendly models within this pulse suffer a 3... I love the inclusion of the word suffer there. A 3-inch push directly away from this model. So Estes is just like... shoving people forward. She's like the anti-Decimate. You know, Decimate brings one person back. Esters is just throwing the mosh pit in. This is the ability that makes this Valkyrie battle cry Esters that I really, really like. Hooper has a 17-inch threat range.
I love how that's where you went first.
Of course I did. Like Veteran Spigot has a...
I agree with Mr. Rooney.
Veteran Spigot has a 26-inch goal threat now.
Nobody cares.
I'll make my one quick comment on this, but I really, one of the big complaints people had in 4.2 part 2 was the fact that all three captains massively had big threat extension, and people were really not a fan of how long the threat ranges in the game had gotten. And seeing this on Esters had me not super excited that that was going to change.
You get a threat extension. Also, Soothing Voice is a 4-inch pulse now. Surprise!
Aria's a 6-inch aura.
And Aria's gone to a 6-inch.
So, really like both of the changes on the back. I think 3-inch pulse was weird. 4-inch is much better. And I do think a lot of the 4-inch auras in the game have been upgraded to 6 inches. I think that's usually better. It makes for a more interesting game in some ways and lets you keep your captain safer. So I really like the back of the card changes. I just wish they'd done anything but threat extension. She's already got quick foot. Like, we don't need more threat extension in this game.
And yet here we are. Hooray! And now possibly the change that I'm most interested in is Pint Pot. Because, like, dude got a playbook.
He needed one.
Momentous knockdown on 2. That's big. And rather than being on the 3. And his momentous... And he's now got a 2 damage on 2 as well. And a momentous 3 came down the column to 4. These are all very happy Brewer things. I appreciate, gents, this may not be the most exciting things for you guys, but like a knockdown coming down a column and a 3 damage coming down a column, I'm very happy.
That's pretty big. It's very big.
And I don't like Bruce being happy.
I think Pint Pot slots into that flex slot now if you want to play. But I still think with Hooper getting no changes and all the other changes, I think you're going to see Hooper in every single list still. But where you want a second beater and you feel like you don't need to play Vet Decimate or you don't need, you know, ball holding and mash, I think you will see Pint Pot now.
I always liked Pint Pot. Slot. And we've not even talked about the best thing on his card, which is his new active ability on the reverse taunt, which is when this model ends in advance, choose an enemy model within 2 inches of the model. 2 inches of this model, this enemy model suffers a 1-inch push directly towards this model. So you're standing in cover? I don't care. Because you're just going to be pulled an inch out of it. Or if you have an unpredictable model and you dodge 2 inches away, you're then going to come an inch back into my melee zone.
Splitting up Sentinel's going to be good. And I think that's going to be a very relevant slot for Pint Pot.
Yeah, equally rowdy, like, combos with this really nicely because he can just pull multiple people into his melee zone, use Smashing Face, probably for free, with Corker, and then attack as normal with this improved playbook, and not care because of how Rowdy works. Then with Tapper, he's going to combo really nicely, because if Tapper comes into you and you counterattack and you move out of Barroom Brawl, well, Pint Pot's going to pull you straight back into it, so other people will garner the benefit. Or if you've passed someone the ball to pull them out of Commanding Aura, Taunt can put them back into it. Like, the applications for Taunt in Brewers is really strong.
It's also just an auto Stoic pop, which is kind of nice.
Oh, that's very good. Yes, I hadn't considered that.
Yeah. So even if he doesn't have influence, you can just walk up with him to pop Stoic. And then potentially his counter... Well, not his counterattack, because it's not very good. But other counterattacks are much more live at that point.
Yeah. The one thing to bear in mind, particularly when using with Tapper, is that Taunt isn't really going to function very well with charge if your intention is to charge and be short and then pull them in, because your activation will still end, because at the end of the advance you haven't made engagement with the enemy. Does that make sense? Okay. Brewer's changes as a whole, I'm very happy, and it has me... Most people are aware, I am currently in the process of emigrating to Australia. In fact, by the time this podcast comes out, I will have, touch wood, already gone. I'm only taking one team. All the other teams are going in the freight, which is Union. I will not see the remainder of my teams for 4 months. And the changes to Brewers here... The changes to Brewers here are making me reconsider which team I take with me in hand luggage. engineers,
I'm sure Double
then.
Dodger, very happy to hear that.
Yeah, I'm sure. I may take their God tier over with me. See if we can get it to them. So some changes that I imagine may be piquing your interest. Let's have a look at the engineers. Ballista is an interesting one, because I think other changes in the engineers are going to get the headlines, but I think Ballista may be sort of corner casing NPE a little bit, even though I don't believe that's a real thing. But this might be interesting. So Ballista's playbook is the same, the four column results. The non-momentous three has come down onto the lower column for reasons that really offends my eyes.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that.
But the minefield also has two damage attached to it, which is significant.
It makes it a lot easier to select, because you're also not choosing any less momentous damage than you normally would.
Yes.
Whereas, like, sacrificing two momentous damage to put up minefield was often not worth it.
Minefield to hard cast is now one influence rather than two.
I called that one.
Yep.
You called so much. You're throwing up stuff at a wall.
To be fair, Ballista was one of the ones I actually think we got most correct.
Again, law of averages.
I'm not listening to it to check.
Momentous inspiration, as well as gaining you momentum when a character play hits, you can have a free bonus time when doing so. This is huge.
So does that work? Because when I first read this, I think I read it weirdly. But does that just mean every character play always gets a free bonus time?
Yeah, well, once per character play. So, like, Ratchet's Blast Earth, you get it once.
So, I guess my question there
I think.
Is, I'd like some clearance on this, because how does that work with Hoist? Because is it the same character play, or is it the character play from that model? Mm. So, like, could you bonus time a Floored Bolt from Salvo and a Floored Bolt from Hoist or not? Kind of unclear to me. If you can't, Hoist is even more in the never gonna see play camp. But if you can, I think he's a little more relevant.
Yeah.
I don't see why you wouldn't.
No, me neither. I hadn't quite interpreted it the way you had.
Yeah, it's not just his accent being weird. I think it's his brain in this case, too.
We knew that. I hope we did know that.
Ballista, they've kind of just brought him into season four. I thought he was quite underrated and just like a bit out of touch, and I think he's pretty good now. I still don't think he's going to make my 12 ever, but...
He's not your style of play.
Yeah, he would have... He would have needed to change more, I think. I'll play him, though. I am currently, prior to this pandemic that stopped all of our games, I was actually planning on playing Engineers through Vengeance for the next several events. And I think they're probably the leading guild for me to play competitively if I make WTC, if WTC happens, if we don't all die in a plague within 3 months.
Well, that's cheery.
It's October. You have to hope. It's sorted out by October. Yeah. We'll make our team selection interesting anyway.
Whoever lives goes.
Doc.
Have you played games? Oh, no, wait. None of us have played games.
None of us have played games. Hey, Vassal's the thing. But yeah, a few months ago in the London Guild Ball WhatsApp chat, I sort of presented here's how I would totally rewrite Blister. And I had him doing like healing stuff and moving health around between the Mechanica and much more sort of like the Tinkerer. And then they've come along again with, like I was talking at the beginning of this, making small, meaningful changes has a big impact. So I'm very interested to see where he goes. More interested, I suspect, for you two football jank loving gentlemen.
Oh boy.
It's Pinvice. So,
I think I'm just going to let Connor pour forth because there's a lot of pent-up Canadianness here.
Lots of pent-up Canadianness.
Before we even get to the changes, Steve and I, not on singled out, Steve and I were discussing about the previous errata, how they'd kind of overly buffed Midas and Vetcat and how it had led to some issues. And we were taking bets on which captain we thought would get overbuffed to the point where they're probably broken. Now let's discuss Pinvice.
So,
are you actually trying to claim credit for things you didn't discuss on the podcast now?
Are you surprised?
I think we did discuss it on the
podcast. No, I'm not surprised at all.
But we have been discussing it for ages. And I think a lot of it was because people thought Pinvice was terrible. The win rate was terrible. But it just felt like the captain's design was really good, and they just needed to fix the legendary in the playbook, and oh boy, did they.
Speaking of playbooks, a momentous tackle on one. You sure like to see that as a striker, especially one that's 5-0 mm-hmm. with close control. Yes, Pinvice has close control. Everyone forgets that Pinvice has close control. And she's gained a momentous tackle dodge on 4. Aside from that, she's lost the momentous one damage dodge on 1. She gains that.
Yeah, what? Her playbook's actually changed a lot.
Yeah.
So what was really interesting is I actually thought her first two columns of her playbook were really good, and it was the late columns that needed to change. But in fact, her fifth and sixth columns are identical, and the only difference for the fourth column is the momentous tackle dodge. So what they've done is they've reduced her reliable damage.
Fine.
But they've increased her footballing ability with the momentous tackle and swapping with 1 damage.
Is it now entirely possible to have an engineer's team with a momentous tackle on 1?
Oh, yes. It already was, I think. Pinvice was the only captain that didn't have
it. But now you have Pinvice doing it too.
Yeah. And So it is interesting because one of the things that made Pinvice really strong was just there was almost no model in the game she couldn't do 15 damage to.
Mm.
And she has lost that because
Horizon,
like having the damage on 2, yeah, add you.
But no, I mean Horizon. He's only got 8 health. Like you can't do 15 damage to.
That's a fair point, but it does mean like her ability to one round really good defensive models has gone down.
Good striker.
I actually think is a better design choice because it also makes it so she's, you know, more of a footballer. And the one damage being momentous now also means you can, you know, do damage and still generate momentum instead of basically having to side between the two until your fourth column. Not it, having momentous damage till column four was rough.
And it's still a combined result.
Two is only on four, which is not great, but is, like, quite good for a striker. I love the new playbook. I wish the push dodge was momentous. I was really hoping they would make the push dodge momentous. But yeah, other than that, the new playbook's a big improvement in my eyes.
It just doesn't
stop. Yeah, they're giving her a playbook just... as good, a playbook that looks as good as the resin model does.
Hey, yeah. See what you did there. But yeah, it's, yeah, she has that momentous one damage dodge momentously on two. So even against tough hide models, the worst defensive stat in the game, she still gets momentum. Controller has dropped from 3 to 2. That's big.
Yeah,
free linked activation. Well, not free, but more efficient linked activation. Very, very good.
I still think you mostly use it to end the game because
yes.
One of the reasons linked is so good with Honor and Harmony and not as good with Fathom and Angel is because of the ability to pump all that influence into damage.
Yeah.
But with Pinvice, if you're spending two influence to do it, often she's one of your better damage dealers anyway. What it is super good for is situationally scoring really big goals where you're just like, oh, crap, Pinvice can't reach this ball, but this other model, if it has +2 move, can chuck 4 influence into it. That model then scores.
I think the velocity kickoff where, you know, you kicked off with velocity and then as soon as it was your go, you activated Pinvice, gave velocity alternator, controlled it, and immediately went with the velocity again. I think that's benefited from this because then you have probably 4 influence to spread around the rest of the team rather than 3.
It's also super good on Salvo. If Pinvice, say, is about to score, alternators herself, sprint, shoot, so you've got 2 influence left, chuck controller on Salvo. He's one of the best models in the game.
That is good.
At chasing down kickoffs. So if that ball
doesn't snap to someone,
punt it to the corner. In which case, again, it's better against teams that actually want to play the ball. If they don't, they were going to punch it to the corner anyway. But if they need to snap back, they're kind of screwed now because if that ball doesn't hit someone, you're scoring.
You're done.
Yeah.
And then lastly, well-oiled machine. So once per turn, when a friendly model receives a successful pass, the friendly model may immediately make a pass without spending influence instead of using pass and move or making a snapshot. So this is the same wording as pot-bellied pass, which
So Pinvice can dodge from the pass to a model.
So Pinvice, this is old Whirling Dervish on Bonesaw in that, you know, she can pass to a model, use that momentum to dodge forward 4 inches. The friendly model can then pass back to her. And let's face it, you're an engineer. You've got a 4-6 kick. It's probably going to go off. And then Pinvice can dodge again and then advance and potentially pass to another model who can pass back. Because what you may notice is this is friendly model once per turn. And there's no range on this. It's not an aura. It's a global effect. This is mental. This is
insane. Like, this might be the craziest rule of this entire errata. On a captain that I thought needed a tweak, did need this part of them made better, but I did not imagine it would be a global trait that is not a legendary and does not even require her being on the pitch.
Yeah, like, if... If this was a legendary, if this was a legendary that just said you can do this for one turn of the game, it would be good.
It'd be much better than Corbelli's legendary.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that this is just a static, always on ability makes Pinvice engineers bananas, and I think this alone means this, like, the stranglehold that Rivet has had on team selection is done. Not that Rivet's never going to be played again, because Rivet is in of herself very, very good, but now Pinvice is very, very good in different ways to Rivet.
Yeah, I think Pinvice will be my default captain for a while as I try her out. I've been playing a lot of Rivet lately and really enjoying it, and I'm really having a lot of fun with engineers, and I'm gonna. I was planning on sticking with them anyway, but these pin vice changes have me very excited. And
just
honestly,
bananas.
the ball's not safe anywhere. This team already has crazy good ball recovery. And if you need to kill the ball, like, you can pass it to a model that then can pass it to a model. So you can move the ball anywhere you need. This might not be okay. I definitely think if there's any model that's come out of this errata that's been buffed to the point where they're probably going to make people angry, especially the Poles, who were already having issues with Bartek's pin vice in her pre-buffed form. God help you guys. He's going to be a monster now.
And I maintain that the changes to Ballista, which are going to make Ballista at times miserable to play against, and trust me, I know miserable, like, they are going to be obfuscated by how good pin vice is. Like, engineers legitimately have maybe the best three captains in the game, like, for a guild. Like,
I don't think you're necessarily wrong.
I would have that argument with anyone. I'm not, you know, I'm not necessarily saying I'm 100% correct, but I would confidently go into that argument, like, thinking, you know what, I've got a pretty good chance here. Like, all three captains, very strong.
I think the only other guild that I would say might have that an argument is Alchemists.
Yeah.
But even then, like, it's... Man, like, pin vice might just be the best thing in the game when receiving. Like, there's just... Especially with Harriet and with... Like, this team is going to be so fun to play and so frustrating.
Do you need Harriet now? Do you need the Hat Aura, realistically, with this?
I don't know if you do... But I think what it allows you to do is what you do with Spigot in order, which is just you can score first activation of the game. 100%. Not quite as easily as order do it, but still quite easily. And what's really interesting, actually, is the first thing I thought when I saw Pin Vice is that it's a combination of Captain Brisket and Honor. And those are two of my most played captains. I'm going to be playing a lot of engineers.
Oh, Harriet is really good with Ballista now.
Yes, yeah.
Throw Sucker Punch 8 inches for free, get a bonus time on it for free, and generate momentum for free. That seems okay.
Yeah. Plus, the whole team gets to dodge around while throwing their character plays for free. It's great.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Less good news for engineers. Salvo. The first of many minor nerfs. Lol. It's a subtle change, but it's a significant change. Going down from a cap of 4 influence to a cap of 3 influence is going to change what you can do with him. But considering beforehand you could do anything you wanted with Salvo.
And everything, yeah.
Yeah, this doesn't feel awful.
This is not the same as original Siren going from 2-4 to 2-3, where basically her ability to get the ball back and shoot became impossible.
That's because she had a 3-cost character play.
Yeah, whereas his character play is all cost 2, and he gets to do one for free still with his heroic. Yep. So he's still an... I think
with,
this turn,
with 3
I
bonus
think this
times.
Does change his... Yeah. I think this changes his role slightly, where he can't do literally anything now. He's more of a battery player now, which is fine. He's an incredible battery. But what it does mean is the, like, Salvo kickoff and rivet, which I've quite liked, is a lot worse. I think the changes hit him a lot harder in rivet than they do in pin vice. Because you often don't have or even Ballista, because you don't have as much influence. And it does cost him a character play a turn, because you can't do 3 a turn now.
Yeah.
But the big one for me is, I was often turning him into, like, a better version of Blackheart, where he would have a momentous 2 double dodge on 1, and could spend 6 influence, basically. And what he could do is basically floored bolt someone, walk into them, and do momentous 8, momentous... like 12 damage, which with the three damage from the floored bolt once he was tooled up was enough to kill most squatties. So he was actually kind of a killing machine with some setup, and he can't do that anymore. It loses.
He's got a great playbook, especially under Rivet. That's a great playbook. I do think these changes impact miners more than they impact engineers, purely because under engineers, as we've already discussed, the amount of free other things or bonuses he receives from his captains aren't present when Shaft is on the pitch. But under engineers, he just becomes another in their arsenal of superb strikers.
Yeah, he becomes much more similar to, you know, the Sirens or Crucible, which I think are very similar models to him in some way, and all have three influence caps. The only I'm not sure if it is going to affect him as much as miners, but this could just be my experience. But I very rarely saw him getting influence in miners.
Okay.
Like much influence, because you had to stack a lot of other players, whereas he gets more influence in Rivet. But I think he'll probably just play more in Rivet like he does in Pin Vice and Miners now, which is he'll get 1 to 2 influence a turn depending what you need, and situationally he will blow open games with Tetherball or Floored Bolt or Arrow to the Knee and continue to be incredibly good at snapping back.
Some of the most clutch character plays in the game, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So moving on from a character, before we move on, I think engineers now catapulted into the upper echelons of the imaginary beard pod tier list.
Yeah, they're definitely top tier now. They may be the best guild in the game. It's too early to tell, but I definitely think there's potential there. I'm really sad I won't be able to actually be out trying them out. Steve and I were going to play some games of new blacksmiths into new engineers.
How many times has he said Steve?
It's looking like a...
Can we just swap like them around?
I don't know. I mean, like, Steve was on this podcast before he was on Singled Out. Maybe we can do some sort
really?
Of like...
Yes,
yeah. He came and did the Veteran Boar episode.
Oh, right. But yeah, I think engineers are going to be a serious factor in the meta.
100%. 100%. So moving from one player who moving from two from a 4 influence cap to a 3 influence cap has had a big impact, let's have a look at Matagi, where it's made a very positive impact, even though it's the same change, which is interesting how the same change across two players can have such a different change to them. So yeah, Matagi has gone from being a 2-4 influence to being a 2-3. But I'm going to quickly switch to the back of his card. Whilst he did have Far Strike previously, the same rule that Cinder has, he now has Hawkeye, which is exactly the same as Far Strike, but he can also make an attack for free. So does it matter that he's gone from 4 influence to 3 influence cap? Probably not. Like,
I mean, it means he can't charge Ghast and score. That's all I got.
That is the most corner case you've come up with.
Beautiful.
I can't wait to play Falconers and lose a game because of that.
His momentous...
Stop doing snapshots, you'll be fine.
Especially stop doing snapshots for one dice. Never. His Momentous Harrier has moved to the first column. That's massive. Equally,
Momentous Dodge Harrier. Hello.
Sweet.
So good. And also his tackle, his non-momentous tackle has gone from the third column to the second column, making it much more likely to be hit, especially with that tack 5. That's pretty much it for his playbook and the versus card.
Yeah.
And he's also gained 2 points of health, which I think
Thank
means only...
God.
I think only Harmony now is the only tack 5... defense 5, 10 influence, 10 health.
Nope, Harmony's got 12.
Oh, she's 12
Harmony's
as well.
Harmony's got 12. The only ones are the Sirens. The Sirens are both 10 health.
Good. You deserve it.
Yeah, but they have other defensive tech. The thing is, Matagi was defense 5, 10 health, with no defensive tech, 1 inch reach, and a terrible counterattack.
And
it
needed to be within
no
6
sense.
Inches. Yeah. I really like what's happened here, and both Hunters and Falconers.
Yeah, I think
these are super efficient a super efficient piece for both of
yeah.
them. Now it just doesn't need influence.
I think the changes I was hoping for, two of the three happened, which are tackle on two, plus two health, and I wanted a bit better of a kick. But Hawkseye makes him so much more relevant in Hunters than I thought he would be. Because in Falconers, I found the problem was just he couldn't do what you wanted him to do. Mm. Whereas in Hunters, he just, like, nothing he even wanted to do was that relevant. Whereas now, he pretty much can put a Harrier down for free if you can get to within six of someone.
Especially if they're already snared.
Yeah, and while that's good in well, that's good in Falconers, you can just pay one for it.
Yeah,
yeah, you don't get the momentum. But in Hunters, it's the difference between paying two influence and nothing for it,
and that's,
which
and
makes
that's...
him one of the best batteries in Hunters now.
Well, I mean, you could always do it for much... free. You could always do it for free in Hunters, but it cost you a blessing.
Yes.
And now it doesn't. So now you have sort of even more blessings to throw around the place, which I think is really good. Plus,
he's a rare model who can do that without a blessing.
As a, you know, a thing that I'm surprised, Connor, you haven't picked up on more. 6 inches is bigger than four. So the his ability to thank you, Panzer. His ability to project Harriers got a lot better. I think. Connor's broken.
Does it? So, I don't think it does. I don't think it does, though, because it just triggers the play. You still place it within 4 inches.
Oh, you're right. Oh, that's irritating. Oh, I made a knob gag and was wrong.
But
I can't, welcome to Roll Better.
I can't be bothered to edit it out.
But I do think. I do. My one worry. Is like he does seem. I guess he's a lot less relevant in Steeljaw than Egret, because he is a lot easier to kill, and also because the bleed is something she already does.
She already does it.
So I don't know where exactly he'll fit in Hunters, but I do think he's worth trying out, and I definitely think in Falconers he's. Going to be a massive addition, and I think he went from like I may or may not play him to I think he's one of the models I would pretty much always play now in Falconers.
I think certainly these impacts are bigger in Falconers than they are in Hunters, but I still think. I think he'll see play in Hunters now. Certainly, I don't think under Steeljaw, like you said, the bleed that Steeljaw does sort of semi negates. Plus, also the Harrier markers aren't such a big deal in Steeljaw. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, they might. I think you'll probably see him. Like, I think if you're playing Steeljaw under Brewers, I might play him because the Harriers counteract tough hide.
Gotta have a way to get rid of tough hide.
I would consider playing him in Skatha because he snaps back really well. His ball recovery is interesting. And Harrier's really up the damage of the bear.
Yeah, it's true. That is true.
And Vet Hearn and Matagi seem to synergize really well because he wants to hit that momentous two, which can be momentous three with a Harrier, but he kind of needs someone to be knocked down or snared to do it.
Okay, man. All right. Well, moving on then to Miners, who I think are this errata's blacksmiths, in that there is absolutely no benefit for them. We've already talked about Salvo.
Yeah, and Salvo was in pretty much every Miner's six I saw, so that is already a nerf they're going to feel, even though it's not as relevant.
Fisher, the main change, or sorry, I can't see any other changes, is entirely to your coming with me, so that now the model must be placed into base-to-base contact. And it's during, or it was during the model's activation, so it rather than friendly model's melee zone. So this is really going to limit their ability to catapult, say, mule forward. You know, there's no more of this, oh look, I've got a 50mm base model on the halfway line without it activating. So their ridiculous mobility has been stymied somewhat.
Is that so does that just cuts off 2 inches of threat, I think?
I mean, yeah, but that's significant.
Oh, plus no, it is. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't misreading it. But
plus, also,
I mean,
the model
2 inches
has to,
of threat is big.
Plus, also, the model has to already be in base-to-base contact with it.
Yeah, and that, with how big the bases are, it's quite easy of them to stay within 1 inch, even if you could move them, because the damn bases were so big. But now, just like the slightest push and... you can't do it on the first one.
Exactly.
Which so, then means you have to place... There's a lot more counterplay to it now, even if it is still one of the best rules in the game.
Like, so there's more setup required, or at least more consideration for the setup required, and the threat itself is lessened. I think this is good. Like, I'm sure...
I think it's a fair change.
I'm sure it won't be popular.
Probably
but...
the change they needed the most.
Mule, I must admit, I've forgotten the mule changes, so let's have a quick look.
Oh, I can cover that.
Go for it.
The mule got the season 4 fisherman nerf, which is just that his damage isn't momentous anymore. So
oh, yeah.
His 2 damage double push and 3 damage double push, which were incredible results, and in the one game I played as miners, was one of the things I most enjoyed about the guild. And they're gone now. He probably has the worst playbook in the game in terms of how many results are momentous of the total results. And Lockdown no longer gives out -1 tack, which is also really big when you
that
think of him
massive.
As a model with 2 armor.
That
and
is massive.
So I think they may have gone a little far on Mule. And this is really interesting because... by the numbers, miners were still, by a noticeable amount, the best team in the game.
Certainly the best miner guild.
Yeah, and realistically, they were the top percentage of any guild in the game in 4.2 after all their nerfs.
Yeah.
Fraser has had incredible success, but even if you don't include him, like there are miners players all over Europe who are doing obscenely well. But for whatever reason, I've still always felt they were kind of the third best team in this meta after Union and Alchemists, and spoilers alert, I think they're the team that got hit the hardest of those three.
Yeah.
Losing all momentous damage on Mule when he was your one good damage dealer is really big.
Does this mean that Shaft is now the only model in guild with a momentous damage result?
Yeah, I think so.
That,
and it's not a good one.
That feels harsh. Like,
yeah.
Because Colossus and Salvo both only do momentous damage with Rivet's help, so they're not getting it. Spade doesn't have it. Mule doesn't have it now. Fuse doesn't have it. Or a finger on my model now.
Shaft. Yeah, they're really pushing them as a 3-0 guild now.
That feels tight. Because isn't this now the same as Navigators? Because Siren is the only source of momentous damage in Navigators.
Navigators actually have quite a bit of it.
Do they? Okay.
Windfinder, Ebb,
yes, actually,
and
yeah.
Azimuth all have it. Fish don't, but Navigators do.
Good.
But yeah, it's
good.
It clearly shows that Steamforged believed that miners were the best guild in the game, in my mind. And there are arguments to support that. But yeah, they've just never really dominated the scene or affected things in the way that.
But they
a lot
didn't have
the
same sort of.
Have.
They didn't have that same sort of ubiquity. That.
Yeah, since the first nerf at least, and
having
I
more
don't
captains
know, I really
is more
like
fun.
The Fisher. I really like the Fisher and Salvo changes. I think they nailed those. I mean, my desire to play the guild is pretty much dead in the water at this point. Like,
I'm not playing
the
a guild where only one damage does momentous damage. Yeah,
yeah.
That's not for me. Right.
One I really liked, I would have actually rather seen Lockdown go to -2 move and -1 tack
Just lose the -1 tack. Right.
Yeah, or even just that, but not the damage.
Yeah.
I don't know. It makes Mule a lot less interesting for me. Maybe you don't play him now on occasion, and you play Colossus instead. I mean, if you need to
that's
fight.
Good. Like, choices is good. I'm all for that. But yeah, like.
But it also means his double push isn't momentous.
Yeah.
Which in itself is quite rough, because a lot of the time I was mostly just using it for the push.
Mm.
Yeah. It's, Sorry. I'm not the hugest fan of that.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to some more cheerful news.
Azimuth,
your friend.
So, yeah, Navigators, the team I most think needed a buff and pretty much universally agreed the worst team in the game in 4.2, and they've got some buffs.
They
so
have some buffs.
I think it was pretty obvious they weren't going to buff any of the models that played for both guilds.
Good.
Maybe they would have done Angel because she doesn't see play in either guild that much. But yeah, they buffed the two non-crossovers, which I think, in a doubt, is the best thing to do.
So just to go through the changes very quickly. So Azimuth has now gone to a 2-4 influence stat. So he can have a big fat stack of influence, should you wish, which is terrifying. And his momentous double push has gone from the 5th column to the 4th. And I think that's it.
He's got a non-momentous push on 2. Which
he has a non-momentous push on 2, which, to be fair, it's navs. You're aiming for the top end anyway, but if you wrap to it...
It's something.
Netted is still not once per turn.
No. I was still hoping one of the things they would do with navs, and I thought the models they could target this on were Azimuth and Ebb, and they have not done... is increase their momentum generation. So that has not happened.
I'm glad that hasn't happened, because that was pretty much their principal problem. Is, you know, the only reason you have momentum, I think, is, you know, John said on Rollback the other week, the only reason you have momentum in a navs team is because you're waiting to take a shot, and not having that momentum generation is a serious drawback.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about navs prior to this errata is they had so many weaknesses, it was kind of hard to tell what was an intentional one and what was not. So, like, they have a weakness to tough hide, they have a weakness to anything that messes with influence efficiency, they have a weakness to resilience, they have a weakness in momentum generation, they somewhat have a weakness to close control because they had so many 2-3 influence models.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to see which of those weaknesses they have fixed. And they have fixed some of them, mostly via Ebb, who we'll get to. But for Azimuth's sake, the momentous double push being on 4 to me is far more relevant than even the influence increase, because I find navigators are quite hard to allocate because they're all very greedy influence-wise, and everyone wants it. So it's good on turns Windfinder doesn't want a 6 stack. And it helps your turn 1, I think, a lot. So I don't want to say it's not big. Like, getting an extra influence is huge on Azimuth. But for me, the momentous double push makes him so much scarier as a counter-attacker when you're charging him, and he's probably defense 6. So that's awesome. Love the Azimuth changes. I didn't think navs were very far off. I just think they needed a tweak and a couple tools. And Azimuth being just generally slightly better is really good.
I mean, he was a pushed and worrying model before, so let's see what he does now. Speaking of Ebb,
so for me, I actually think Ebb had been in the flex slot a lot for my navs, where you played him in matchups you needed to remove the armor or really needed to do damage, but not others. I didn't have him in the same category as Fathom and Azimuth as, like, the core pieces of the team. And now I think he is probably the single most important model in the faction, except for maybe Windfinder.
One thing to bear in mind, before we get on to the positive changes on Ebb's card, there is one negative in that Smooth the Way has gone. Which I genuinely think is a real shame, because Smooth the Way, which was the character play which allowed target friendly models may move or over obstructions during a sprint or a charge, was a fairly unique piece of design space, only really replicated by Yukai, who, you know, just hands out flying.
Yeah.
And one of the things I found in the sort of the brief dalliance that I had with Navigator is that one of the things that a skilled opponent would do would be to block charge lanes with terrain, and what Ebb allowed you to do was to effectively have a hard counter to that. And a certain extent, I think that's a bit of a shame that it's gone. I get why that it has gone, because he's gained a new character play, but I just think it's a shame that Smooth the Way is a design space which has gone entirely from the game.
Yeah, I do think it wasn't good enough for one influence. I think if it had been flight, or if it had even worked on like barriers, it would have been a lot more relevant. But on a lot of boards, it just didn't matter. I think I'd used it twice in like 12 games, maybe. So it did occasionally come up, but not
was
that
it just,
often.
Just too much with True Path? It was just he became the terrain ignory piece.
Yeah, and the thing about it is like the team is so tight on influence that like putting an influence on someone because maybe they'll have to charge over a obstacle is so situational. I think I did it twice on the kickoff model because it was a really bad board. But in general, it was a rule that I think either needed to change or go.
Just to clarify, it's obstructions, not obstacles. It's not obstacle barrier specific. Well, yeah. It wasn't, because it's gone now.
Never noticed that. Whoops.
I think it'd be the really an interesting thing to come back on, say, a mascot.
Yeah.
Like
I think so too.
Like if you like, I could see Wrecker having it in, like, not that Wrecker needs it, but something like Wrecker, where he just kind of like rolls around and smooths down terrain so that other people can go over it, or something along those lines. But so what Ebb has gained in the place of Smooth the Way, he now has a character play Grasping Earth, which can be triggered from the second column on his playbook and is not once per turn, which is target enemy model suffers a -2/-2 move penalty. This sort of really works well with his tar pit style role that I've seen him used in the past. And Sprung a Leak has remained the same and is still -2 armor, sorry, and 2 damage.
But perhaps so good.
Far more significantly is a new character trait on the reverse, a 4-inch aura called Sharp Eyes, which when a friendly model begins its activation within this aura, the friendly model gains anatomical precision for the duration of the activation.
Oh boy.
So, like, Ebb makes Anvil a 2-0.
Yeah, it's better on Ferris because of the lack of tough eyed. Navs can now kill Ferris.
I mean, she's still got 18 boxes.
Yo, that'll go fast in this team though. Like 2-0 models once you get some crowd outs
and the knockdown. Yeah, for that bonus dice.
Yeah, so I think two of the weaknesses I mentioned that Navigators had that in the previous edition I think Ebb massively helps with. One is they were incredibly influence hungry.
Yeah.
And Sharp Eyes helps a lot with that because now you don't really need Sprung a Leak most of the time. Unless you're playing against certain guilds. I mean, it's still a super good play, but now you can deal with like 4-1 models without it. And it also enables you to deal with armor without having to activate Ebb first. Although it does put an even bigger bullseye on him,
The big thing that really stands out for me on this is it's not friendly other model; it's friendly model. Like,
yeah,
Ebb is always having anatomical precision, which means either your entire team can have anatomical precision if you position them tightly, or Ebb can activate, give himself anatomical precision, walk up to something, and sprung a leak on the rest of the team, or on your opponent.
Yeah.
Ebb
is now obscenely reliable at doing 8 damage.
And for like, just stripping
obscenely.
Armor.
Yeah.
Right. In a team that always worked very well to smooth the probability curve anyway, like, I think Ebb is, you know, and it's a term that I do not use lightly, I think Ebb is about as close to an auto-include in Navigators as you can get.
Yeah, I think you probably still don't play him into farmers because they have no armor and no defensive tech whatsoever, and all the other models are really useful. But even then, like, he's still a killing machine. Like, he's probably the best damage dealer in the guild with setup
I
because he
mean, he's
can do
still.
the momentum, because he wraps so fast because he's only got a 4-long book. Azimuth's 6-long book is way harder to set up the wraps.
Like he still has Gutter's single target playbook damage output.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, once you get the Sprung a Leak on, if that's a 3-2 model, I mean, you can probably hit the knockdown at that point, and then you just start wrapping, and he's so good. But the main thing to me is, like, Sharp Eyes is amazing, and it helps with influence efficiency. It helps with armor without him having to go first. But Grasping Earth is the number one thing I wanted in this errata for
Boo.
any guild.
Boo.
Navigators needed a not once per turn ranged character play to strip resilience that wasn't the 4-inch azimuth thing. I was hoping for a character play like Mark Target that would be 10 inches or one that would be 8 inches would have been ideal. I didn't care what it did. 6 inches, it's definitely a lot less valuable and safe than it would have been, but it's still absolutely massive. The fact that he can hit it off the book is really good. I don't think the -2 movement is going to be that relevant very often. It's not that much, and he's within 6 as soon as you do it, so you can reach him. Occasionally, it'll be enough to stop them getting to someone who has the ball, but for the most part, this is not something that I think is as much about the play as it is about just being able to go with him and pop resilience on someone.
Just to be
The one
clear,
exception,
oh.
yep.
Just to be clear here, Navigators players, I'm not booing you getting a thing. I'm just booing Connor being happy. Like,
Well, I'm not. I mean,
very important distinction
I
to
wanted
make.
it to be Mark Target, so it's not Mark Target
Now, yeah,
luckily
you're
for you
never getting
guys.
marked target in Navigators.
Well,
Let's.
no, I didn't even want the like +2 to charge. I just wanted the 10-inch
You just
range.
wanted
But
you just wanted 10 inches. Gotcha.
yeah, I'll settle for 6.
Solid knock back.
Good times.
So
But yeah, so
our navigator.
the one thing I'll say, sorry, the one thing I will say about the
No, you're
minus
not.
two move, is it does make him have a really annoying first activation where if he's like starts engaging someone, he can just swing 4 times, give 4 players -2 move, and just jog 7 inches back to the team, which is pretty fun.
He is Navigator's Ghast. Where you just go and go, I'm gonna make this, and this rubbish and go away. Which is
Yeah.
not, it works for Ghast. I don't see why it shouldn't work for Ebb. Have Navigators been lifted from the very bottom of the tier list?
Yes. I don't think they were that far. I didn't think they needed that much. And I think, although they didn't get a couple things I was hoping for, and they didn't get as massive changes as some people might have hoped for, the changes they did get are very substantial, especially on Ebb. And I think it does change the way the team plays. I often kind of didn't put much influence on Ebb, and he was kind of my least focused of my models alongside Horizon. Like, they would swap in and out a lot. And now I think he is clearly priority number one for your opponent if they have any defensive tech, because he's the one who deals with it. And you, as a Navigators player, need to be very careful when you commit him, because he does a ton when you commit him. But if you lose him, you lose like your free gliding, your anti armor, your extra anti armor, your anti resilient. Like, you lose so many of your tools in one model. And he does only have 12 health and a 4-0. So, like, 6-stack captains just destroy him immediately.
Apart from rage. Rage can't kill him.
Yeah, and neither can
Still
any 5-cap captains, but still.
hilarious. Still hilarious. Our last model that has been changed, and typically this is a model that has just been posted to me by the commission painter, so it is literally like the entire time prior to this nerf, I haven't been able to play him. He arrives on my doorstep, and not only am I leaving the country, but also he's getting nerfed. So, veteran Captain Greed. Two massively significant changes. One, forward minions is going to a 3-cost character play rather than a 2. I think that's a big deal.
Yep.
And also his aura on it's going to an aura, was a pulse. So I've got both sets of cards in front of me. It's getting confusing at this late hour. So he's basically had the opposite change to what Ferrite has had.
So interesting.
All the things that we said were good for Ferrite, just reverse that for why it's bad for Greed, particularly in a guild where, or with a captain whose singular mechanic is the ability to double dip on activations. Being able to double dip now with forward minions, I think, is, if you're being able to do it, then you wouldn't have needed it. If that makes
sense. The only time you double dip now is probably when you're kicking, and you kick with Minx still, and Fangtooth can probably double dip into it.
Yeah, just because he's that slow.
Yeah, exactly. But where this really hurts, and so I've been playing some Vet Greed, and actually, outside of thinking that the whole thing was a bit too broken, I think mechanically it was a really interesting thing guild with Do the Thing. And my main issue I have with these changes are the 3-cost increase actually makes a much bigger deal when you want to play a more football-y version of Vet Greed than it does when you play the traditional fighty version.
Yeah.
Because you basically had one influence to spare for persuasion if you run Fangtooth, had no influence to spare at all if you ran Mist. And now I think you can't really run the Mist kickoff in Greed without making serious sacrifices.
I think we're back to
already.
We're back to a situation where Union are a 1-4 guild.
I think they agree on that.
Don't really flex out of that. The other change I think it's important to note, which isn't as big a change, but I think it's probably the best change, is he's gone down to tack 4 because he inadvertently had a Brewer playbook because of the presence of Shelling Out. He was effectively tack 6 with a 4-long book. So going
it was fine when he attacked, but when he
charges,
he was getting too much out of wraps. It also does make it so he's pretty much never hitting that tackle now, which again hurts any sort of weird football-y jank I was doing before.
Pretty standard Union captain issue.
Yeah.
But
I think the aura change is not as big as it would be on a model like Hammer or Ferrite, because Greed does tend to hang back. So he doesn't want to pop.
He's not the super solo.
It does give it a lot more counterplay, and as you said, like, you can't double dip anywhere near as easily. I think this hurts, like, the flexibility of Greed to play more interesting lineups, but the most standard pissing everyone off, oh my god, this is so broken lineup, didn't actually get that much worse.
So before you go into that, I want to come back to that at the end when we sort of surmise. Forward minions, I don't think you see on any turn apart from the first, to be honest.
Yeah, unless things expensive. Are going really badly and you're coming back on with multiple models because you're getting your ass kicked.
Yeah, or unless for whatever reason you need to go 8 inches with Greed and are happy to spend the 4 influence that would cost.
I often spent 2 and charged. The only thing I will say, though, is on turns where Greed is, like, behind your lines and joining your lines, the aura change could actually be a situational buff.
Okay, yes, I'll take that. So if I've already got a scrum formed and want to bring Greed into it, because he's either come back onto the pitch or just, you know, everything's been moved around by, like, Festival or Brewers or what have you, or, you know, Hook and Crook, they're mental. that aura could well be useful. Oh, that's a nice point. I like that. This sort of rounds out.
I don't think I'll be playing him as much now that I can't run the fun.
I think the team selection between Veteran Greed and Veteran Rage is much more linear than it was previously. I think it's very much more now Rage on the kick, Greed on. Rage on the receive, Greed on the kick, and it can pretty much stay that way.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons I'm putting my Union away after this is. I did think they needed a nerf, and we'll get to that. But the parts I enjoyed about Union got nerfed, and the parts I didn't really enjoy that I did think also should have gotten nerfed didn't. So the team is leaning a lot more to Vet Rage now, and I don't really enjoy playing Vet Rage that much.
I'm fine with.
I think Union will take a break for a while.
Yeah, the hashtag Vec Rage, Rage Man Crush, back in full force.
So yeah, he's there.
These are the 18 models that have changed in 4.3. Obviously, there are considerably more models in the game now than 18. So just to sort of round this out, I wondered if we might each take a model, or name a model that, A, you're surprised didn't get nerfed, or changed. Sorry, let's go with changed rather than nerfed. And something that you wished had have been done. If the sort of the difference between those two things is clear enough.
So I think I'll take the obvious one. I think there were two models that were clearly the best two squaddies in the game. Maybe three if you include Fissure, because that ability is so amazing. And that was Vet Cat and Minx, both of whom had output that was absolutely obscene. They could do basically everything. They bent the entire guilds around them. And I am pretty astonished that Minx did not see a change. Minx doesn't really have any weaknesses. Vet Greed did crutch on Minx a lot, and the Vet Greed nerf hurt that a bit. But we'd actually had a lot of Union players locally lately and had kind of come around to the fact that, like, if you can play Vet Rage receiving, he was actually kind of better than Vet Greed. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the Vet Rage team got zero changes and that Minx is just as good is kind of shocking. And I think that's probably going to be the most salt-inducing thing in this errata is one of the two models that that were most complained about didn't get changed, and the context around them didn't change enough for that model not to still be terrorizing the game. And so I do think Union are still going to be top tier.
100%. Butchers will be the saltiest thing because they didn't get any changes.
You're right. I have second saltiest. John Clemens is going to kill someone.
So if that's
perhaps
your...
not on the pitch though.
Hey, if that's your, I'm surprised this didn't get changed. What is therefore your, I wish this had been changed.
Salt.
I
don't think they should have, because realistically they're trying to keep it small, and Fish are in a really good spot. But Salt is actually the model that got me into Guild Ball. I think it was the best-selling model in Guild Ball history for a long time. There's so much history around it. It's an adorable little otter. And Salt was never super good, but got massively hit by core rules changes. Wanted Salt to get something to be slightly playable. But meh. Wait to season change. Again, it's not the end of the world, but I would have really liked to put Salt back on the board without feeling bad about it.
Perfect. All right, Ben, what is your I can't believe this wasn't changed?
Well, the obvious elephant in the room's already been addressed. So what didn't get changed? I think for me, with Shepherds coming out, that was a perfect time to take a look at Veteran Honor. That model needs something. I think she's arguably the only farmer that you just don't ever see. This could have been a perfect thing, with the Shepherds coming out, give her something, give her a role.
And plus, I love Honor. Peck. If you removed Cocksure from Peck, I think she'd see play.
I was getting there.
Who knew Connor would interrupt? So, Ben, can we guess there? What is the thing you would have liked to have seen change?
That bloody chicken. It's not just my, you know, de facto play Alchemists, and therefore Peck is some ridiculous force multiplier against me. It's just, you know, it stands out among the mascots as just being, what is this thing?
That's hilarious, because as someone who's slightly heard of hearing, I just heard you say horse multiplier. I had to really try and work out what you meant then. In terms of what I'm very surprised wasn't changed, it's a bit of a toss-up between what I thought you were just about to say there, Ben, in Thresher. But I think I'll go with Scalpel. I've not seen Obulus in 4.2 in 4 really, and that makes me sad. Obulus is my boy, and Scalpel is just dominating that team at the moment. She seems very, very good even after the nerfs that we saw in 4.2. And in terms of things that I think I would have really liked to have seen, I really would have liked to have seen a new Morn. I know she only just got done, but no one cares. That play style isn't popular. I've not seen anyone put her on the pitch apart from me when I've tried her, and then it's like it's been a limited thing. I really liked Old Morn with the Fated Aura. I know why she lost the Fated Aura, but it was a cool thing to play around with, and I'm hoping maybe in the future that the three captains in the Morticians Guild end up being something a bit more like the three captains we now have in the Engineers.
Yeah.
Perfect. Oh, and while we're talking about things that I was surprised didn't change, Hunter's getting zero changes, I thought was surprising.
Isn't that
Steeljaw
first
got
time?
Through?
Isn't that first?
Yeah, like Steeljaw had the highest win rate of any captain in a guild unaffected by this errata, and Skatha has a very low win rate. The captain balance was way off, and a ton of the squaddies don't see play. But I guess Hunters, as a guild overall, they're doing all right externally, so they're probably going to get a pass next errata. But if you were hoping for Steeljaw nerfs, sorry.
I think it only really remains to say, with all the changes that are going on in the world at the moment, with the coronavirus pandemic, please do stay safe out there. There are a number of events, conventions, all cancelling or postponing for understandable reasons. Your local gaming stores are going to need your help whilst they may be closed or purely shifted to mail order at the moment. I know a lot of work is being done in the UK where gaming stores have lowered their mail order minimum amount for free postage. This is highly commendable. Please do take advantage of it. If, like me, you're going to be holed up for a number of weeks at home due to your work closing down, and I'm aware I'm very lucky in this respect, do remember your local gaming stores. They are going to be hit very, very hard. And if you have any influence with your local gaming stores, I've seen a few, mainly in America, introducing gift certificates so that people can continue to support their local gaming stores through this difficult time. Hopefully we shall all see you on the other side. Vassal is a thing. It's a thing that I've not used in a very long time and have recently re-downloaded it. I'm going to attempt to remind myself how Vassal works and maybe produce a how-to Vassal video, but it is there, so if you are holed up going slowly mad at the lack of social interaction, don't forget there are ways of reaching out to everyone. But yeah, just in general, stay safe out there, folks. Hopefully this will all be over before too long. So from Connor and Ben and I, thank you very much, folks. Hopefully this new errata has you chomping at the bit when a local gaming store does reopen again. And until next time, handy listeners, such as you are, I need a better outro.
Oh my God. Becky, look at his beard. It's just so beard. Oh, baby!